rolling. All right. Well, welcome everybody to this very new endeavor. We are coming together, three pastors here, to just try to encourage those who are listening. We don't even have a name for this thing yet. We don't know if this is going to be one show or many shows, but my name is Justin Franchino. I'm coming from Peninsula Grace Church over on K-Beach Road. I am joined by Andrew Miller of Sterling Baptist and Adam Myers of Kenai Christian Center. Myers, are there multiple Myers at your end of your name?
Yeah, Myers with an S.
Myers and with an S.
Yeah, Kenai Christian Church.
So pretty diverse. I mean, we've got Soldotna, we've got Sterling, we've got Kenai. Nobody's representing Nikiski, I guess, is the only downside. But we're, we apologies to the Bulldog Nation. Why are we here? What are we doing? Well, our purpose here is simple today. We said the purpose of what we're doing is to encourage local churches to follow Jesus together. We want to encourage those churches right here in the Kenai, even the Kiski. We have different churches that we're gathering together on Sundays now, different formats than we ever have before, but we are one capital C church in Christ. And so we want to encourage pastors, church members, what it looks like to follow Jesus in this time and how we can do that together. So that's why we're here. Andrew, good to have you. I saw some videos of you, some devotionals you're putting online for your people. Your kids were hanging all over you. Yeah. How are you maintaining sanity these days?
Sure. Good question. Our living room is kind of long, which is nice. We can just shove the couches out and we turn it into a soccer field. Wow. So yeah, we
kicked
the soccer.
Awesome.
Yeah, we did knock a plant over, but we didn't tell mom, so she didn't find out. But there's this big dirt stain on the floor. So we've been doing that. And actually, kind of funny, they've got Jeopardy on Netflix now. And for some reason, like, the kids are obsessed with Jeopardy. I mean, they can't get any of the answers.
Yeah, I don't even know the answers to half the questions.
Yeah. You know, it'd be like Groundhog's Day. You got to watch the same episode over and over and over again before you know all the answers. But my kids are like, can we watch Jeopardy? I'm like, all right, we'll watch Jeopardy. So, yeah, no, we're just trying to be creative with the space in our house, trying new things, playing games, that kind of thing. And we're enduring. So it's been fun. Good question.
Words you never thought you'd hear your kids say, Dad, can we watch Jeopardy?
Yeah. And the kids make the videos that I put out more fun to watch. So I think that's the only reason the church even watches them is because my kids are making faces in the background. So
yeah. It really ups the cute factor. No offense.
Not taken.
Good. And Adam Myers from Kenai Christian Center. Adam, how are you hanging in there these days?
You know, it's been, oddly enough, at home, it's been fun. And one of the things I try to do in all this is if you turn on any kind of news outlet, it's just, you're overwhelmed with just fear and anxiety and worry. And, you know, I like having fun and trying to breathe hope and life into people in any way. And I think the soccer idea is brilliant, by the way. I'm going to have to try to figure that out for myself. But, you know, what we've been doing is we've been breaking the internet on Facebook by just blowing out all the copyright laws. We've been hosting dance nights where the boys and I just put on have Alexa playing in the background, and they just pick songs. And my boys have a pretty diverse background in songs. I like to say that it's all Christian music, but they've been well-educated over the years with my 80s and 90s upbringing. And even going back to some of my mom's 60s and 70s stuff. So
nice.
And we just put it on and we just say, you know, if you're watching this, you got to be out of your seat dancing with this. And so far we've been banned from 8 different countries, and it's been a blast. And what's funny is the boys love it. And then also we have people like texting me all the time. So when's the next dance party? It's like, I don't know, hook you up soon. So.
So your dad dance moves are on full display.
Oh yeah. And we got costume. My boys have all kinds of stuff in their closet. I'll put on wigs. Obviously I need a few, put on some different outfits and stuff. I got stuck in one of them here at the last one we did. I could barely get the shirt off of me, but you know, just adds to the fun factor of the live moment. So,
well, I thought that might be your response. I didn't want to rain on your parade because I've tuned in. I've tuned into. I've got a rug with you digitally.
Oh yeah.
Oh nice. Man, feeling the flow. And oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm coming from Peninsula Grace. Although I took a quick trip down to San Francisco, that's how I've been just kind of dealing with it. I just defied all COVID social distancing orders and flew directly down to one of the most affected states.
So on a private jet?
Yes, exactly. We do very okay. well here. They pay us handsomely at Peninsula Grace. They do not muzzle the ox is how we interpret private jet planes. Well, we've definitely had to maintain sanity. That's why I'm here at the, Jill and I don't even have children at this point, but we've just both decided, you know, there are times when I'll go to the office and you will stay here at the home and we won't, you know, commit murder. But we've found, you know, one of the things we did this Friday night was, We have a couple of friends and we tried to figure out how to play some games online. And so trying to do some card games, you got to kind of change the rules a little bit. Still looking for, I've seen Battleship done out there. I've seen Yahtzee done. It's a good one. We're going to try Scattergories this weekend. If you've ever done
Scattergories. Oh, good game.
And that'd be a good online one. You get several people in. So yeah, we're doing our best, but, what we thought we would do, I just asked each of these guys to come up with a list of questions that they might have their own hearts, interests, curiosities during this period of time. I know there's a new normal for all of us. And so just wanted to, so what we're going to do is we're just each going to ask a few questions. We're going to discuss them. We've looked at them ahead of time, but we wanted to mostly keep this conversational. And we just pray that this is an encouragement for you, wherever you are watching or listening. That is our heart. And so, you know, Andrew, we said Andrew would kick us off here. And Andrew, how long have you been at Sterling Baptist now?
A little over 3 years.
You came from?
So my family and I moved up from South Carolina in the spring of 16. And then January of 2017, the church called us to come. So I've been here.
So the biggest difference between South Carolina and Alaska would be what?
The heat. The humidity. Not fun.
No.
My wife grew up in Inilchik, so she lived most of her life up on the peninsula. So coming here was kind of a homecoming for us.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So Andrew, what questions did you got for us?
Yeah, I got three. The first one here, and this is something that I've been thinking about and I want to deal with. I've been putting out a series of what I call fireside chats for the church, just 4 or 5 minute videos of encouragement.
Are you actually by a fire?
I'm not. That's the
that's misleading, Andrew.
It is. All right. So I did sit by the fireplace in one a couple times ago. We didn't have a fire going. But one of the things that I'm interested in talking about is, especially with the quarantine and people being exiled, and that's kind of a phrase I've been using with our church a lot as we've been exiled in our own living rooms.
How the do diaspora.
We, yes. Well, and really even the exile to Babylon, and thinking about how they had to start over in a different culture and those kinds of things, be creative. And I'll talk about some of that as I maybe try to help answer some of your questions. But how do we be together? Like our society is good at doing things together, right? And then taking pictures of it, right? Eating together and but how do we, right now, and I'm feeling the pressure in my own family, how do we be together? It's hard. And so that's kind of a question I have for you guys. At some point probably add in my own two cents, but what do you guys think about that? How do we get families to learn how to be together?
Yeah, I think probably the biggest difficulty that we're facing right now is, based on this question, is we've adopted such a busy lifestyle. You know, think about not just our own schedules as ministers, but also the activities that we find ourselves doing, whether they be something we've planned or something we're involved with or something we get invited to in our kids' schedules too. I mean, my boys are involved in jujitsu and soccer and dance and piano and so we're so used to just going out and suddenly all of that comes to a screeching halt. And I'm with you. It feels like immediately there's this awkwardness of, well, what do we do? I mean, almost as if, you know, since we're not keeping that busy schedule that we're paralyzed. And I think for me, one of the things I've been trying to do is to go, man, this is a beautiful moment to embrace the reality of learning how to relax together, how to to rest. You know, we don't rest enough. You know, it wasn't just a coincidence that God gave us a command to look at obeying the Sabbath. You know, and in our schedules say, well, that's not important today. But just being with each other and learning to rest together, I think is important. And that, obviously, probably the biggest caution of that would be, well, you can't just sit around and stare at each other for hours on end either. So just trying to embrace the rest and find ways as a family to be together, like you said, whether like we've gone on walks together. The boys have some electric scooters they just had. Just got from there. Actually, they got in Christmas, but you know how it is in Alaska. Just able to get those things out and use
practicing them. Delayed gratification.
Yeah, here you go. It's so exciting. Okay, wait 6 months before you can use it. But just trying to have more discussion, you know, times of talking. I mean, the boys are asking great questions about just the other day. I was asked, so what'd you do the last time this happened? I'm like, the last time what happened? They said, last time you guys had to be quarantined, you know, what'd you guys do then? I was like, this has never happened before in my lifetime, you know? So being a listening ear to our kids and being able to respond well to them.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah. I was thinking, you know, so my wife and I, our first 10 months, we were long distance. She was down in California and that's how we got to know each other. Other than some brief visits, we had to, or maybe I should say got to, just talk. That's all we could do, you know? Mm-hmm. And which is probably good. Some things we shouldn't do until we're married. And then that helped us, you know, stay in line. But it forced us into conversation in some really good ways where we got to know each other. And I feel like in some ways, this long distance period has forced us out of some of maybe kind of the rat race rhythms that we're caught up in ministry in our lives, like Adam was alluding to. And it's forcing us to, like one of the main things we can do is talk to each other. And, you know, it was really cool. And I think as I've talked to people, loneliness is certainly one of the things, especially as this thing gets longer and longer, that's coming up. And, you know, just encouraging people who are feeling lonely. It's like the kid on the playground, right? They come over to the duty and they're like, nobody's being my friend. And you're like, well, who are you being a friend to? You know, get out of here. So, you know, that's what I've been encouraging people. And it was so cool. One of the single gals in our church was going, hey, you know, I need community. And I ran into her in the grocery store, just 6 feet apart, ran into her. And just one of those God, you know, coincidental moments, and just encouraged her, you know, what do you need and how can you start that? And so she started a Facebook group for women in our church. And she was like, because she's like, I hate like this Zoom thing, I'm out. But I would love, like, whether it's an email thread or a Facebook group where we could share back and forth. And so she started, and we had like 30 women respond in the matter of 3 days that were like, we want in on this. And so what a cool example of, you know, I need a friend, I'm going to be a friend. So I think just encouraging people, you know, to do that, to reach out, and we get to be together in the form of dialogue, you know, prayer for one another.
That's good. I think, just to sew this up and then actually transition to the second question, which
that's good pastoral
transition.
Yeah, I hope your questions are alliterated.
They're not that good. I think one way that we can help our families, and not just the families in our churches, but the families in our communities, to learn how to really be together is by really teaching them and even modeling for them, help them to understand and see how God sees the family and how he values the family. And Deuteronomy 6 just comes to mind, where, you know, Moses is telling the people what God is saying to do when they cross the Jordan River to the Promised Land. And he's communicating all of that. He's disseminating that information to the dads. Mm-hmm. And then the dads were responsible to teach those things to their children. And we'll talk about this later on, because Adam, your question really screams, your two questions both scream Deuteronomy 6. So we need to teach people how God sees and values the family. And I think when we see the family the way God does and we value it the way he does, it's easy for us to relax together, to be together, and to enjoy that. And you both are right. We've got this rat race mentality, and it's been hard. So question number two, then, as families, what are some healthy habits? Because this is kind of a fireside chat series I'm doing now. I'm talking about healthy habits that we can cultivate during this time of exile. What are some things that maybe you guys are encouraging doing in your family or encouraging your churches to do, or your families in your churches to do, to cultivate some healthy practices? What are some of those things?
Yeah, you know, it's as I've been thinking, you know, how do we shepherd from a distance? And I think that we do need content, you know, so we're streaming sermons, you know, there's a lot of content out there, but there's not a lot of good content out there, encouraging content. So that's important, but more so than providing content is the need to provide community. But how do we do that? You know, we talked about just, you know, the last question, reaching out to known relationships. But what about people who don't have those relationships? What about people who, you know, and I was trying to picture like welcoming people to a Zoom chat, you know, and just, hey, if you need to get on and do some questions and answers, I guess Zoom is now my answer for everything. But I was like, most people are going to feel super awkward to jump on a video chat and they don't know who else is getting on there. You know, it's like, so I was like, man, this to me exposed what we, I mean, our call is to be disciples and to make disciples. And that's all of us. And so for some of us, that requires just, and I've been saying, get awkward for Jesus. Be willing to initiate that phone call to somebody where like, they might think I'm weird, just calling them out of the blue, you know, or just kind of letting down my guard and letting them know I need somebody to talk to right now. But the biggest thing that I want to encourage and coach our people is to how to build in intentional discipleship relationship with the people you already are friends with, where it's not awkward. You are friends with them. But I think in this time more than ever, we need consistent relationship. You know, I've got two buddies, and every Wednesday morning, we're confessing sin together. We're memorizing scripture together. We're asking, how are you doing? How can we encourage each other in prayer? We need that. And this might be the time. You know, we're as a body ramping up this year to really kind of build in some intentional discipleship pathways. But I was like, well, the Lord's timing is not ours. And so this Wednesday, we're just calling some people together to get over Zoom. And what does it look like? You know, let's just start with what you got. You don't have to do a build in a seminary, you know, level relationship, but just calling a couple buddies and talking about where you're at, you know, how you're doing, how you're making it through. But then start to say, let's do this consistently, because if we just do a one-time call or a kind of whenever you feel like it, discipleship is not just going to fall together. You know, that's not how it works. And so just really encourage cheerleading people to do that, but then also coaching. How do we model that? How do we, you know, equip the saints to do the ministry? Because we're all called to be disciple makers.
Sure. That's good.
Yeah. And no, I think I'll just piggyback on that. It's really interesting. This start of 2020, we spent the last year basically launching a brand new vision, mission, values. And we had this great buildup until this pandemic hit, you know. But the great thing is, now that we had put that together, one of our missions is connecting people to God and one another. And, you know, that's easy to do when you can be in the presence of one another. But when you're now distant, or some are going to feel isolated. And especially, you know, one of the things that, as we hit social media and we hit all this Zoom and all this other stuff, there's a demographic that exists that people don't even have that access. And there's people who don't want that access. And we can't just go, well, that's on you, so I hope you make it, you know. So one of the things I've been very encouraged by, like when this first hit, it looked like we're probably going to start, you know, scaling down and probably end up in some type of quarantine situation. One of the first things I said is, I said, guys, we've got to be intentional starting today of getting on the phone, making phone calls to people, and keeping the personal touch. I mean, the social media is great. It's good to put out, you know, great pictures and, you know, these kind of encouraging thoughts and stuff and the fireside chats. These things are awesome. But it doesn't replace the personal connection that we need. And probably one of the most encouraging things I've seen, in fact, I'll grab this real quick. I went on my essential run to Walmart the other day. I grabbed this box of 200 note cards. I thought, I'm going to try to empty this box as quickly as possible. You know, I don't have to write a whole book to everybody, but, you know, I've got to be ready to to give that personal connection. And, but the other thing on the flip side of that is I can't meet everyone's need. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough. Well, I would say I don't have enough minutes on my phone, but that those days are gone. But anyway, that the reality is we do need to equip people to understand that, look, we have to break out of the clergy mentality of this responsibility falls strictly on the minister or the staff or the elders. I mean, yes, the ministers and the staff and the elders play a significant role, but truly their role should be helping people understand that they need to be doing these same things, because then you'll start building community and so you're training people to do that. And you're also training people to receive that. So if you're getting a call from a brother or sister in Christ from your congregation or even another congregation, man, that is the church connecting with you. That's not, you know, let's not negate that phone call because it wasn't the minister. Let's not negate that phone call because it wasn't an elder or a deacon, you know? But one of the most encouraging things I've seen was my boys got a letter in the mail, and it was from a family in the church. Their kids had written letters to both my boys. And the one she signed off with, will you please be my pen pal? You know, when's the last time we heard the words pen pal, you know?
Or had a pen.
And so, exactly. And so that personal touch, and they're drawing pictures on there, and it's their own handwriting and stuff. And, you know, and I thought that's what we need to be focusing on right now. That personal, I mean, that meant the world to my boy, both my boys. And guess what they're going to do? They said, I can't wait to write them back. They wrote them back the very next day. So, and who knows, maybe the post office will recover through all this.
Right. Well, and those note cards you're handing out in this time period, those could also double as valuable toilet paper. So I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, next time I'll get 2-ply note cards.
Well, I like what you guys are saying. You know, Justin, you're saying for the teaching the church to be deliberate and intentional, and Adam's just an emphasis on the personal touch and staying in touch with each other, not just through social media, but pick up the phone and call people. It brings a sense of calm and comfort. That's good. So here's my third question. Do you guys think that this season of quarantine, because I'm reading my articles, I got guys that I'm reading and things that they're, I mean, you know, thinking ahead, how is this season going to impact the new normal for our churches? What are some thoughts that you guys have been thinking about and writing down and even communicating to your churches?
Yeah, I'm going to make mine pretty quick. The first one is we got to realize, you guys are probably looking at your statistics and data and stuff that, you know, we get provided by social media and stuff with your fireside chats, with your online sermons and Bible studies. And I've been blown away with the amount of people that it's reaching, you know. God's word is spreading like wildfire right now for a few different reasons. There's people connected to others that we'll never be connected to, and they're forwarding this information on to their group, which is a huge blessing. So we need to realize, first of all, there's a larger audience that's yearning to hear God's word and to receive God's truth. That we can't just, when we go back to normal, forget anymore. You know, I've been trying for a couple of years to figure out, how do we live stream? How do we get this information out there? And I wish I were more prepared, you know, to meet where we're at, to meet this pandemic with that kind of equipment and better handling of that. But we can do this on the fly. It's actually working pretty well. And the second thing is, you know, I've been talking to some of the doctors and healthcare workers in our congregations for years now, especially during the flu season. They're like, look, we got to stop passing plates. We got to stop having people do these handshakes and hugs and all this stuff. I'm like, yeah, that's, you know, I just kind of dismiss it as like, that's really not a big deal to me. And I'm realizing now, you know, some of these things are gonna have to change. You know, we come back to us taking communion, you know, especially it's not like magically this coronavirus will be gone, but we need to be, we'd actually talked about, we're advised by another congregation when they had the H1N1 thing, and they said, here's how we started dealing with communion. You know, we had different stations people could go to, and we had those cups spaced out so that you wouldn't, you know, be passing a plate and sharing germs that way, or pulling from a pile of bread from the middle of the tray. And as soon as this hit, I was like, man, they're exactly right. So I need to be aware of, the reality of that and not dismiss it as just like, well, this is my preference and I shouldn't be listening to the medical advisors.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you guys have been paying attention to social media. I'm lucky enough to have the gift of prophecy. So, I know exactly when this is going to end and how, it's a secret for now. But I, you know, no, I've, man, there's a lot to learn and necessity is the mother of invention, right? Like I didn't, I've always had a dream and a heart for, local pastors getting together. We're now doing it once a month, but something like this podcast, I'm like, well, I don't have the time. Could we do it? And, you know, this season, it's like, we need this. I need this. So let's just try something and do it. You know, and I think the same with, you're right. This has forced us into whether it's utilizing technology or we did the same thing. We called through our church, you know, directory. Nobody, I mean, you know, our roster, we don't really have physical directories anymore, but the people on our team and man, what a beautiful thing. But we're like, this shouldn't just be something we do during a pandemic. This kind of contact should be a regular rhythm. And we divided it up by people, whether it was small group leaders, elders and deacons and people who already had meaningful relationships with those people. And it's like, that should be a once, twice a year check-in, you know, and obviously in this season, there's more going on. You can have lengthier conversations. A lot of times it might be like, oh, doing good. How are you doing? You know, but, you know, but to still keep that relationship going. And I think, you know, I've thought about that too. We're having people who, you know, people come to the church saying, I've been inviting these people for years. They were not willing to come, but they will live stream from their living room. Now when we go back, you know, and the sponge gets released, you know, what stays, what leaves. And to me, I want to be careful. I don't know. Everybody's going to be different places. Some people already live stream. My hesitation with doing that, and I'm just kind of speaking candidly, is I don't want for as many people who could tune in from other places. I also don't want people be like, oh man, you know what? Let's just stay home and live stream it today. Sure. You know, keep my slippers on. You know, I don't have to put my makeup on. I hate putting my makeup on every time I come to church. But
so I thought.
Yeah, it's, you know, so I don't know. And we're going to weigh those things out. Some of these things are only necessary for now. Sure. But some of them, I think we will learn some helpful rhythms and patterns going forward. So kind of, you know, prayerfully discerning what that looks like as we transition back to physical gatherings.
Sure. I think that, I do think that the church is going to value relationships more than ever after this. So I'm not worried. I understand. I'm not worried about people wanting to sit home on live stream. And I know that when this thing lifts, it's going to probably lift gradually. It's not going to be like, okay, you know what I mean? And even if it did, you'd probably have a lot of people that probably wouldn't come back on the first or even second Sunday. But I think another thing that's going to change too, and I think this, and this has been in my heart since I've been in this church, is that I think more than ever, we as pastors and church leaders are going to invest in the men of our church. One of the things that I've said in our church is that every kid should have two pastors, their dad and their pastor, and their dad's their more important pastor. And so all again, we're dealing with a lot of this stuff is God took us right with this pandemic. God took us right back to the family unit and dads are the shepherds of their homes and they're feeling that now. And so I think for me, I'm going to hit that even harder than ever when this lifts is really investing in those men. So
that's good.
But those are my questions, guys. And thanks for the thoughts. And I've been taking some mental notes. And so I appreciate the wisdom and advice.
Yeah, I noticed you weren't actually taking any notes. So
well, mental notes, right? I said mental notes.
pearls before swine, Andrew. So my questions, I got two of them. The first one is, you know, we've been talking a lot right now about what it looks like to love our body, and we do good, especially to the household of faith. But it's also a unique opportunity to be salt and light in our communities. And so what does that look like as we are, we're thinking about how do we effectively love and serve the community outside of our church body in this season? What are some things you guys have been doing or thinking of or opportunities that are kind of coming onto your radar?
Go for it, Adam.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things I did right away, anytime there's an update from our community, a community outcry, community need, I try to bring that before the body as we can right now and say, hey, look, you know, again, for example, the hospital is asking for homemade masks, surgical masks, or these whatever kind of masks they can put. And they had very specific directions on how to make them, but they required sewing. Well, I could try to do that myself and try to crank out five, and it would take me probably a lifetime. So
crank out five.
Right. And they still wouldn't be able to, they wouldn't be useful anyway. They just throw them in the garbage. And, but I try to get those resources when I learn of them immediately into the hands, again, not only just put on social media, but personal call. Hey, do you know people who can do this? If so, here, can you get that information out to them now? And let it be something that that helps out our community. I mean, cause that, again, I think about the people who are being impacted the greatest. We think about, you know, the healthcare workers, obviously, number one, the those people who are still delivering mail and stocking our shelves at the grocery stores and stuff, you know, trying to encourage them. I don't know if you guys have been grocery shopping lately, but it has such a odd feel right now. You know, it's almost like people in some ways just feel like, you know, don't come near me. And
that's like apocalyptic.
Yeah. I almost said that.
Yeah. It has this really eerie feeling. And so I encourage people to always, you know, offer a smile to people. Huh. Well, then now we got our mask on. And so our smile looks like this. It's like,
see how my eyes squinted for Jesus?
Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, trying to be aware of those local needs, and addressing them, quickly, you know, and, well, there's another one I had there. That was it. That was the one. Just
I think you did better than me, because when I read this question, I was like, man, I'm having a hard time. I'm not super creative already. I think what would be helpful, and I think the benefit of us, what we're doing right here, is if you, as you guys are hearing needs from the community, however you have those connections, it'd be great if you would send some of those needs my way, and I could disseminate that to our church. Yeah. I do know that one thing I have seen, a pastor that I'm kind of in touch with on Facebook, he and his church, they I'm not sure how they did this, but they have a local restaurant, and they basically pay for people to have soup on Fridays at this restaurant. So there's a little board in the restaurant, and it says free soup on Fridays provided by such and such church. And so they pay for it. People can go in, and I thought that was neat, and I thought about us trying to do something like that. One of the things that we're trying to do just as a family is trying to eat out at some of these restaurants, go and order food and bring it home, and to support these restaurants. And we were doing that with we've been doing that. And so I think that's a way individually. But I do think that even this question goes back to the family unit. I think it forces families to figure out creative ways to be influencing the people that are in their sphere of influence. So I don't really have, I'm still figuring out some of those things. And so any needs that you guys hear from the community, pass them my way.
Your comment though reminded me of another one, because you know, we do have a sphere of influence as ministers that some people don't have, right? We have a lot more connections and stuff. And I took that idea, you know, and my wife and I have talked about this, like, hey, we need to make sure we're supporting local, and we got to make sure that we're doing it responsibly too, because we can't just burn through our funds if suddenly they're gone.
Sure. Yeah.
But what I've done is I've gone on Facebook Live while I'm sitting at the carryout, and I'm like, hey, today I'm at, you know, whatever restaurant, and they'll come to the window, and I'm like, and who are you? You know, and that's it's cool. You know, I was like, come support these people. You know, they if you're able to come support them. Sure. And I did have one other one I remember too, as you're talking, that is, one of the ways we can love our community right now is, you know, we can't dismiss the seriousness of what we're facing. You know, we don't even totally understand what we're facing. You know, we can dismiss the national, the global news on this pandemic. But there's a temptation. And honestly, there are churches in the lower 48 that I've heard of that are gathering together in defiance of, what's being recommended by our federal, our local, and our state governments. And, you know, that's not really going to give the church a good big thumbs up for the community if you don't believe.
It diminishes their effectiveness for Christ. It takes away from it. Yeah.
Right. And so I think right now what every church is trying to do is everyone is craving this fellowship. You know, we're so used to being together in the building and community in our homes and stuff that we're starting to try to find the loophole. What's the loophole? What's the wiggle room that we have? And how far can we push the line? Yeah. And promote this fellowship. And my thought is always, you know, right now, I don't think it's worth the risk to try to get as close to that line as possible and put anyone's life potentially in danger. You know, I'm not a, I don't have a medical degree. I don't understand exactly how this stuff works, but I'm trusting those who do. And everyone who's part of this says, look, this is very serious, especially for our people who are at risk and our elderly. And as the church and as a leader of a congregation, I don't want to try to figure out, well, how do I get people back here as quickly as possible in whatever means and jeopardize their health or their life, you know? And so that's one way we're loving the community is going, being patient with rushing into gathering together.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's a great word. And that Romans 13, and we trust the government because we trust God, not because we ultimately trust the government. That's and our attitudes toward them. I mean, this is not a season to, like any other, to complain, to disrespect. It doesn't mean you mindlessly have to agree with everything. We can vote, we can have brains, but we do need to render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and we need to respect the authorities God's placed in our lives. And, you know, I was thinking in the same way that we reach out to those in our community one-on-one and the friendships we have, one of the things we encourage at our church, I mean, I think there are some evangelism programs and some outreach programs that can be really dynamic, but ultimately the grassroots call to discipleship is, and one of the, we talk about praying for your three. So who are three people in your life that you're regularly rubbing shoulders with that don't know Jesus? And how can you befriend them, share and show the love of Jesus? And so in this season, and I was thinking about this as we were putting this together, you know, I got three different guys I'm buddies with. I sub at K Beach and some guys that I know from some different places like that. And so, man, am I even just reaching out to them and going, how you doing? You know, just how's it going today? You know, I mean, so just reaching out to those that we already do know that aren't following Jesus. And that can be family members, relatives, that can be people locally. And with those people, and this would go for, you know, encouraging our body or reaching outside of it. We had a family in the church. I looked outside the door. I was on the phone and she was sneaking away. She had dropped a little gift on the front porch. And, you know, obviously we have to think through the social distancing and what you can touch and whatnot. But it was like, what a cool encouragement it was to us. They just dropped us off a little package. So what are little meaningful ways that we can show people in our neighborhood that we love them? I mean, Jill and I have gone through our neighborhood and just done a prayer walk, and we're just praying for, you know, all the houses, people that we've already met, they're praying for them by name, people that we don't know, you know, God knows who's in those houses. And then we break in later to see who they are, spy on them, maybe Santa Claus, but, no, that's it. So yeah, some cool ideas there. And the last one I had was, how do we give generously during this season? And how do we navigate our churches financially? We know as churches, we have staff to pay, we have bills to pay, we have missionaries we're supporting. We also know that those that are going to our church are facing either loss of job, or especially we don't know how long this is going to go, and everybody's a little bit more nervous on spending. You know, what's this going to look like now and going forward? So how do we lead our people in what it looks like to live generously in general, and then, you know, specifically as a church considering finances in this season and kind of the unknown future? We'll start with Andrew this time.
I think the one thing that I keep trying to put in front of the church is just the mission. Our emphasis right now, and that's with the word of the year for us, is kingdom. And understanding that the kingdom is bigger than our church, and that what doing the best thing for the kingdom is what our church should be doing. That's a phrase that I keep using. And I think keeping the mission in front of the church and our church developing a white hot sense of the mission, that helps. We understand that, yeah, as we continue to give, God uses his money to further the kingdom. I understand he doesn't need our money, but we get to participate. That's the opportunity cost of not working along with Christ is that we miss out. He still build his church, he'll still further his kingdom. But I think by keeping the mission in front of the church and saying, listen, as we give, we participate in helping further the kingdom, especially as we think about even missionaries across the globe that we support several. So I'm trying to keep the mission in front of the church, that our methods are going to change. I understand that. We're not passing the plates. I understand that. But we still have a mission, And it is still possible to keep the mission going. Paul wrote most of his letters from prison. Like, yeah, he kept the mission going. Right? He was in his own exile.
I've heard, Saul was social, or Paul was social distancing. Yeah. You were self-quarantined. In place.
I don't think Peter was that one time. He was chained between two guards. I don't know how far, if it was 6 feet or not. But but keeping the mission in front of the church, I will say this. This is the second part of your question. I will say that, and I don't know... I don't know the polity or the church government structure of both of your churches there, but we are a congregation governed, so our congregation voted on the budget at our annual meeting. And now we have a board that is looking at those things and trying to think ahead, and instead of reacting, being preemptive and figuring out, okay, what do we need to do as a church? And I think our church body is smaller than the two of yours, so we have to think about that. And it's been hard, and that kind of leads into the other thing, is how to make decisions. How do you make decisions right now if you're a congregation governed church? So I'm not going to act like I have some kind of answer on how to maneuver this. We're taking it a day at a time. We're trying to be flexible, and I think that this is where it's important for the church to appoint qualified leaders. Because then when you get into an unprecedented time like this, then you need unprecedented decisions to be made. In fact, when we made the decision to cancel our services, that wasn't a church decision. The church needed the board to make that decision. And so that was the first of what would be maybe a few unprecedented decisions. So I am learning, and our guys are learning. So we're taking it a day at a time and trying to make the best decision for the church here. Then communicate that. I think communication to the church is really important. So then they understand why we're making those decisions. So we're learning. We're learning. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Adam, go ahead and give us the answer here.
I got my mental notepad ready.
Of course, you know, Justin doesn't need it. Justin's a prophet, right? So
right. And really, really rich.
No. Clearly, you flew down to San Francisco.
Everywhere you look,
he built this.
You know, reminds me a little bit of the Masked Singer. You know, your answer was wrong, and I have exactly what the answer is going to be. And if you're missing out on the Masked Singer,
Sarah Palin.
There you go. Oh man. Ooh. Yeah, but you know, the one thing, it's a great time to remind people of what giving actually is. You know, is giving that, hey, this is something that you do because this is, we're a church and you're supposed to just do this, and that way you can keep your membership. You know, we may understand that's not the reality, but there are people who are still young in their faith. They think, oh, this is how it works. I'm at church. I have to do this. I've got, you know, we have the guy who, not we as in it happens here, but you think of the guy who the plate's coming by and he's making change, you know, he got out of 50 and he's grabbing a couple 20s, you know, it's like, we have this mentality. It's like, I'm supposed to do this because it's a church, right? It's an organization. Mm. It's a great opportunity to remind people that, you know, giving is an act of worship. You know, God says to, and we go to Malachi on this, obviously, you know, when we give, we bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. And what's going to happen when we do that? Now, this isn't a health and wealth sort of gospel, but it's God saying, I'm going to take care of you. Now, we're not playing the lottery. We're going to buy a few lottery tickets to see if we hit the jackpot. Mm. What we're doing is we're remaining faithful to what God says. You know, we either trust in his word or we don't. Mm. And, but at the same time, as a church leadership, we are going to see already here, I know of multiple people who have lost their jobs or have been laid off, or they're going to, like, they're shutting down their facility because their job is no longer going to exist while this pandemic is happening. And so there's this fine balance between compassionate discussion on finances. But you know what, if we're teaching well, you know, 10% is 10%. If that's what someone's decided to give, and that amount is 10% at $50,000 a year, $120,000 a year, or $10 a year.
Yeah.
But it's a healthy thing to be teaching that, you know, God, give God, whatever, that's between you and God. You know, I never see any of the finances that come in as a minister here at Kenai Christian Church. and I'm thankful for it. You know, I don't want there to be some kind of like people thinking I have this access. I don't. We have a finance team with two elders on that, and they take care of all that. But you know, as far as our response, then, you know, how do we act responsibly during this time? Well, we can't. This is the time to, as leaders, to just cut back and say, man, where's the fat in our spending right now? Yeah, you know, what I would normally be doing, you know, I mean, okay, well, here's something. I'm going to subscribe to this. Or I'm going to get this magazine. I'm going to do whatever. You know, there's times where not like I'm spending foolishly, but there's just more freedom in spending within our budgets. The budgets,
like, cancel the San Francisco trips, like that kind of thing.
That's right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. And so I just need to be aware of that. And, you know, and I'll be honest, you know, let's just get to the chase as we're talking to other ministers here. People look at our lives and it's not fair, but you know, one of the reasons I wanted to avoid ministry is that we live in this fishbowl that everyone gets to look at. And I guarantee that we're being watched during this time. Like, well, what, how come you just go buy a new car right now? You know, it's like, well, maybe my brother-in-law gave it to me. I mean, we don't have the chance to explain all that stuff to everyone. But there's the perception and the reality. And as long as we're sticking with biblical truth and good giving practices as an act of worship, I think we're going to do that and reflect it in communication. Like you said, here are things that we're doing to make sure we're not overspending right now. Mm-hmm. One other thing, I was contacted recently by a guy named Dr. Gary Johnson from E2 Elders. And he sent me this. I didn't know about it, but it says, the Paycheck Protection Plan. I'm looking at my computer over here, but Paycheck Protection Plan loan. Now, I don't know how this works. I'm not even necessarily endorsing it. I'm just saying it's out there, and I can send people the links if they want to. But what's being put in place with all the stimulus packages, small businesses. So if you're a small business owner and you're looking for help, or churches. So if you're one of those people making these financial decisions, you can apply for this loan. And there's a whole thing on how to do that on this website. But when you use those funds for your utilities and for your keeping your employees employed, then that loan becomes a grant and it's not to be repaid. So again, I'm not a lawyer. I haven't read through all the fine print of it all. I'm not even saying that everyone should go do this, but I do know there are resources now to make sure that churches don't fold under the financial strain we may find ourselves in, not just now, but maybe a month or two from now.
That's good. No, that's helpful. Helpful.
Justin, could I say just one super fast thing?
What?
About
you get 5 seconds.
I was just gonna say it's important for us to teach that the way that we do handle our money in a difficult season like this reveals our view of God. Mm-hmm. It reveals our when things are good, it's different. But when things are hard, the way we handle our money during a time like this in exile, it does reveal what we really think about God. And so I think that's important. Yeah.
That's good. More than 5 seconds, but good. But good, yeah.
Like 12. Like 12.
Thank you. Right. No, it's good. And I, you know, the only thing I would add to that, both of those are such good words. I, you know, just two principles. Number one, you know, as we're navigating through this period of unknown, we don't know how long this is going to go. And so we can't just say, well, here's going to be our plan. Number one, you know, to constantly be in prayer. You know, we can throw that out there, but to legitimately trust the Lord will give us the manna we need for today, to have that trust of Lord, let's be faithful with what we have now and trust you that tomorrow's has enough worries of its own. So be praying as leadership, praying as a church. Number two, a level of transparency. We need you know, Andrew mentioned communicating with our body. We've been doing some construction projects here at the church. Well, we need to let the people know whether or not we continue with those and why or why we wouldn't. We need to let them know. So they're not coming by going, wait a second, there's a pandemic and you guys are upgrading the children's, you know, area. So make sure communicate, be transparent to the degree that obviously is appropriate, a high level. Last set of questions are coming from Adam. And Adam, how long you been at Kenai Christian now?
So I want to go back to something I said earlier too, because, you know, when I make a mistake, I like to do this. You know, one time I spoke and I was, when things are recorded, you know, people just like to take that against you. But I talked about the book of Noah, which was clearly not there. And also my biblical reference is in Micah. I said Malachi, and as soon as it came out of my mouth, it's like, it's in Micah. It's Micah 3:10.
Well, we didn't catch you, so I mean. I don't know what that says about us.
Actually, I thought it was malic nitrogen.
Okay. Yeah. So I appreciate your humility, not just calling me out on the spot.
Grace.
Yes. So I've been at Kenai Christian Church now. I've actually been attending here for 16 years. And I was here as just a member for 2 years. And then I was hired on as a youth minister. And I was the youth minister for about 12 and a half years, full-time, in full-time youth ministry. And then through a retirement of our founding minister, Robert, he retired and asked me to step in more to the adult role. So I've been doing that now for about 2 years. So about going on 15 years this year of ministry at Kenai Christian Church. Mm-hmm. Oddly enough, I didn't come to Alaska to be in ministry other than to support and help it. But God has a great sense of humor, and just look at me if you need more evidence for that. Okay. So my questions that I have are, the first one says, the quarantine has required families to take up more responsibility for their own spiritual growth, right? And Andrew's been talking about that, alluding to it quite a bit. So how do we as leaders continue to equip the families to lead well in their own homes during and after the quarantine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking, you know, I had two thoughts. Number one, and probably the lesser of the two, but important, is that we provide tools for our people, as part of the equipping of the saints, right? Like mm-hmm. a good coach is going to give the right training tools, workout regimen, or, the right training apparatus that you're going to need to get better. And so, it's weaving that in, not just, preparing. John Piper said, I used to always just focus on going into the kitchen, preparing a meal, and then bringing it to our people to serve them to eat, mm-hmm. which we need to do. We need to feed the flock, but we also need to invite them in the kitchen to know how to make meals for themselves. And, one of the simple little, a lot of little things can add up. Like, we have sermon notes every week with fill in the blanks. And so then at the end, I started putting, I call them questions for the car ride, just to talk about on the way home. We now change that to questions for the quarantined, and just invite people at the end of the message online, just turn and talk to each other. Here's a couple questions to guide you through a discussion. Our elders have put together daily devotionals. We have a daily reading plan as a church. And so now we've just been having them record like a 3-minute video, some thoughts, kind of like Andrew was saying with his fireside chats. And I know I'd seen Adam doing that weekly, and just simply going, hey, here's what we read today. Here's what God taught me out of that. And that's just modeling, what it looks like to read and respond to the word. So giving some tools, some examples like that can go a long way, but I think more so, to be a broken record, number two would be that discipleship where we're modeling, and that means actually being friends as families and as individuals to model what it looks like, right? And do what I do and what I say, hopefully. I mean, I have two friends here at the church, and man, I have loved watching them bring kids into the world, and the way that they can both break down these theological concepts in a way that a 5-year-old can understand it, which I've heard you don't actually understand it if you can't break it down into its elements and communicate that. And so what a model for me to watch them is the way they've led family devotions and simple little things. And their kids are crazy and running all over the place too. I mean, they're not just like little like church mice, but and what a way to model that, And so we need to be in those kind of relationships where we're seeing that and then receiving that to know how to do it for ourselves.
I think one of the tools, just to speak to tools, one of the tools that we have as a church is right now media. I don't know if you've heard of that, but one of the things that I'm doing is I'm finding studies and I'm keeping those in front of the church. And so we just went through 1 Peter with Kyle Eidelman. We finished that. Now we're going through an Easter series. And so I'm just keeping that in front of the church. Let's do it together. Let's do it together. Sit your family down. You watch this, go through this study. The scripture's in their living room. But I think one thing that is important that I want to continue to emphasize with the men, because I'm thinking of Pastor Dad here, is what it looks like to encourage them in my mind is giving them confidence. Like, hey, you can do this. And I feel like the reason why we need to offer that is because I understand, listen, I'll just be honest with you. I could probably preach in front of like 10,000 people easier than it is to pray with my own wife. Okay.
Right.
We all know that. Here's why. It's because our families see our flaws.
That's because you had a really scary wife.
And that. No, my wife's amazing.
Okay. Good answer.
Yeah, but I remember, you know, when Moses killed the Egyptian, and then he ran away, and then he came back. Well, he ran away because they found out. And then he came back 4 years later, and he's like, hey, I'm supposed to lead you guys out. And they're like, well, why should we follow you? Because we know the skeleton in your closet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Listen, our families know the skeletons in our closet, and it's super hard as men. It's easier to lead other people. It's easier to pray with other people. It's easier to read the scripture with other people. I want to give confidence to the men in our church that, hey, listen, you really can do this, and I know that you're scared, but your wives and your children desperately want you to lead them. Mm-hmm. Don't give way to the fear there. And so I want to provide mm-hmm. confidence.
Good.
Man, that's good stuff. Yeah, it's awesome. I was taking notes here a couple of times. See my pen in the picture like
and,
this.
And not mental notes, actual notes. I saw it.
No. I was like, I'm going to forget this stuff. I'm writing this down. You know, one of the ways I said this recently in a sermon, an online sermon, again, live, Facebook Live, streaming to our website and all that other stuff. You know, I try to remind people, I said, look, the church has left the building. I think you guys have seen that probably online, and I don't know who came up with it first, but it's a beautiful phrase.
Yep.
The church has left the building, but it's still the church. Mm-hmm. And at the end of one of my sermons, I don't know if it was last, I think it was 2 weeks ago, I said, if you're ready to make a decision for the Lord, please do not wait for this building to be unlocked. You know, the worst thing you can do in your response right now is to wait until you have to talk directly to the minister or someone who you have put on this pedestal or higher up than you to commit your life to Christ. I was like, if you want to do that today. Talk with someone today. And I said, you know what? You can even, if you're ready to give your life to Christ and be baptized, fill up your tub. I want to see home baptisms. We have a baptistry here, but you can't come into the building right now. So don't wait, you know. The Ethiopian eunuch wasn't driving through the desert and say, you know, when I get back to Ethiopia, then I'll get baptized because I know a really clean place to do it. He did it immediately on that decision. And it blew my mind, but like, I don't know, it wasn't maybe 10 minutes after the sermon was over. And there were two people who did exactly that. And I was just like, I can't believe it. You know? I mean, I did believe it because I had the video proof of it, but I'm like, this is the church. Right? Not we have to make sure we haven't take our Western Christianity and take it and say this can only happen when these doors are open.
Amen.
And so teaching people and honestly, I don't think people would not do it because they probably just thought, you know, I didn't realize I could do that. I wasn't, you know, and what a beautiful thing this family is going to have now as they were baptized in their own home. You know, what a story to tell their kids later on. Anyway, and that's speaking good. Of being scary wife, my wife did roller derby. So, and she does kickboxing and jujitsu. So
I'd be scared to look at her, let alone pray with her. She sounds like she can mess you up.
she sure can. But you know what? She's amazing. And I'm not afraid of her because I do jujitsu on the side too, but she could probably take me. Anyway, enough about me and my personal life. So my second question is this, what action plans should we be making now to lead in a similar situation, but without technology? So in other words, if our quarantine's prolonged or let's just say it's repeated down the road sometime and the technology goes down, you know, we always hear about the EMP or something like that, like the burst in the outer space that takes all technology down. Ooh. What ways are we equipped? This isn't a prophecy, by the way.
Okay.
This is just science fiction.
I was going to get my real notes.
Yeah. But how do we make sure, let's just say we didn't have even this available or Facebook Live or let's just say that all the video technology went down. What would people do then? What would families do? How do we equip them today to be ready for that? What's our plan C? The big plan C?
Did you
not everyone at once.
Did you want me to go first, Justin?
He's stalling. He has no plan C. Andrew doesn't even have a plan B.
Well, I know. That's why you wanted me to go first, because you're going to write down what I say.
He's got fireside chats, and that's it.
Yeah. I don't know if I have a plan C, but again, and I don't want to – I'll say this, and it sounds like I'm beating a dead horse, but I'll give some scripture here. It goes back to the pastor dads. And so here's the deal. When many of the Jews were exiled – out of the southern kingdom into Babylon, they didn't have the temple anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have church building or live stream, right? Mm-hmm. So then the dads and the grandpas band together, and that's where they came up with the synagogue model. You can read it in the history. The synagogue model that Jesus grew up in, that came from captivity in Babylon. Mm-hmm. They're like, we don't have the temple anymore. Synagogue model. The dads and the grandpas did that. So that's what they did. So if I'm just going to shoot from the hip because that's all I got, I'm like, well, then we're going to get together as dads and husbands and we're going to be like, how do we lead our families? What do we do? I mean, mm-hmm. because this is it right now. It's just unprecedented. Mm-hmm. And if we don't have technology, we can't really gather together in a large group. I don't understand how it doesn't go back to the dads. I don't know what the other plan would be. In my opinion, when I'm thinking about it in Deuteronomy 6, God's design for the family. And I think that Western Christianity has robbed dads of the spiritual role in their families. It's gone to the clergy and the pastor and the minister and the elders. So we run a men's group. We did before quarantine at Ammo Can from 6 to 8 a.m. on Thursday mornings. And a lot of us guys there, we read scripture together. We pray together. Just probably tried to do something like that and get the men to lead their families. I mean, that's what I'm thinking right now, because that would be our plan C. That's the synagogue model. Synagogue was plan C. So
C is synagogue with a C.
Synagogue with a C.
I was a spelling bee champ. So
let's take the sin out of synagogue. I think that, I was going to say we could go to smoke signals. If things, you know, if they get to that point, we can just remember Morse code. And I think Andrew's right. I think we do need to zoom out a little bit on that, because we recognize in our body, it's not all mom, dad, and kids, you know. And so what of single men and women, you know, sure. What of families where the husband isn't following Jesus? You know, there's a lot of, and that's where I think, I mean, you're right, in the right kind of model,
sure.
You know, there's leadership in that sense, but also how are we making disciples of all, everybody engaged in that process? Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't know, I mean, some of it would depend on to what degree the technology was down, you know, if it's just that the internet's not working. I mean, we still have the phone, you know, because that obviously allows, you know, a networking, you know, if we have technology mm-hmm. down and social distancing, can we, you know, pull into a parking lot and yell at each other across the, you know, I mean, and I'm, you know, being sort of kidding, but also like, I don't know if there's written material that can be dispersed, but I think we talk about scalability, like wherever you're at as a church, you know, mm-hmm. maybe you have 20 people. Okay. But what happens if you get to 200, if we're making disciples and the Lord gives growth, mm-hmm. could we do this same thing? And that's why you can't have King Justin. We have King Jesus. And then we have a mm-hmm. group of people making disciples together. And that's what's scalable. So no matter how big mm-hmm. you are, if everybody's engaged in that. So I think similarly, if technology drives us apart, if we still have those discipleship relationships, those can stay intact, whether it's in the home or outside of that. And, you know, I think you could get creative with, especially if it's in the summer, a little bit nicer, you know, we could do some kind of open air stuff where people are pulling in cars and, you know, you got a microphone and you're booming. But it's a great question. You know, if you didn't have the technology, and, you know, let's even say realistically, you know, the wires go down here, you know, and everybody breaks the internet, you know, I think it's a good thing to consider.
Ralph Brixton.
Yeah, exactly.
Not Ralph.
Yeah. That was my thing, is I love technology. And I love how technology can be utilized to build the kingdom. Mm-hmm. But in some ways, and you hear a lot of people who are in the older generation who will say, we rely on it way too much. And that's what really got me thinking about this question. And so one thing I'd add to that, what you both have said is, you know, we need to, right now, as we have connections, even in our quarantine, and we have this availability, it is the time to, and we hear this word over and over, equip, equip, equip. And I want to take it another step and say, you know, I love the idea, and Justin just addressed this too, the perfect model of a family. And the dad's a Christian, he's leading well. But you know, what we need to be doing also is saying, look, if you are the Christian in your home, I don't care if you're the son or daughter and your brothers and sisters aren't believers and your mom and dad aren't believers, you have a chance now to lead. It might be leading by example, might be lead by inviting them in. And you know, that's really the environment I grew up in. You know, I had a single mom, I had an older brother, And as I grew up as a Christian, you know, I was pretty much, I had some other outside help outside my immediate family, but more or less on my own. And so I can't imagine what I would have done as a middle schooler in the midst of something like this, being the only one home. I mean, quarantine and not having access, you know.
Yeah.
But cheerleading, being those cheerleaders too, I think of ministers as cheerleaders, obviously the guy cheerleaders, to make make sure. Just strike that one for the podcast. But to
I'll edit it out later.
There you go. Let's go. All right. But also making sure they know they have that same ability, that they don't have to wait for any of us to do that. And you do that by, like what we've talked about, building up regular habits and practices. You know, it's a huge blessing. We just started a Bible reading plan before all this happened. And the goal was, I wanted to make an attainable goal to read through the New Testament. We started this in March. I got started late, but at least I got started. But we started in March reading through the New Testament as a congregation through the rest of the year, which gives us basically one chapter a day for 5 days a week. So you got 2 days of recovery if you missed it. I didn't want to overburden people with, you know, we're going to do the whole Bible, 8 chapters a night, starting in Leviticus, because people would have just burned out. They would have given up before it ever started. But developing healthy habits and to say, look, you can do this. You can do this on your own, and leading in prayer and that sort of thing. So,
yeah. No, that's great. And we can forget that, you know, the most important tool is not our GCI internet. It's not, you know, we've been given the Spirit of God in us and His word. You know, he's been growing His church ever since Pentecost. This is not, you know, a virus is not going to throw Him off course. And we can throw out those platitudes, but do we believe that, you know, and this is the kind of time where it shows that. Man, I am so grateful. This has been such an encouragement to me, just to have this conversation with you two. My prayer is that others will be encouraged in this conversation as well. We're just three ordinary guys figuring it out as we follow Jesus. And so we're just, hopefully, you're picturing yourself on the, well, at your desk or San Francisco or wherever you are.
But you're a prophet, though.
I am. Yeah, I'm above you guys. I was trying to be humble, and then Andrew removed the veil, and we saw Oz. So I appreciate you guys' time. I know there's a lot going on. We said we're all busier in this season. Some parting shots. Adam, do you have a favorite dance song? Is your dad dancing skills, they come out best in a certain musical number?
You know, for me, if I'm going to be real honest on this one, the dance song that just really gets me going is throwing back to the 90s, the CNC Music Factory, Everybody Dance Now. I mean, you can't hear that song and not rhythmically move.
That's true. Your hips start, yeah.
But, you know, if we're going to go for the canned Christian answer, I have to say Jesus Freak. The moment in history by DC Talk that changed all of Christian music from here on out.
And does your belly wiggle around like marmalade jelly?
I try to make it do that, you know, as much as possible.
And Andrew, I want to know from you, have you read every book behind you?
No, but I've written all of them.
Wow. Okay. and in a streak of humility, he has all of his own books behind him. Are they for sale right now on Amazon?
No.
Fantastic.
Yeah, no.
All right. Well, gentlemen, appreciate your time. For Pastor Adam, Pastor Andrew, Pastor Justin, thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll let you know if this becomes a recurring thing or not, or whether anybody would listen to another one of these. That's the question. But appreciate you guys. We love everybody out there. Let's follow Jesus together.
That's right.